The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Once upon a time, I was in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and I saw the future. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Wednesday. And if we go back in time to 2008, that's when I was doing, I think it was maybe my second year doing color, I think, for Conference USA. I used to do Game of the Week on Comcast. And so the thing I loved about it is that most of Conference USA, because I'm selfish, I would want what was easy to do. And so Conference USA, you would land in Dallas or Houston or Orlando or wherever, a big city, New Orleans. There's the game. There's the hotel. It's easy. You want not fun? Do an SEC game. Get to Athens easily. Get to Auburn easily. Get in and out of Tuscaloosa easily. I mean, Starkville, you go all through the Southeastern Conference, it's the number one place for college football. Historically, today, tomorrow, almost none of those venues are easy. Conference USA, except for like Marshall and maybe one or two. I mean, I did Rice at Houston. Easy peasy. So that was travel back in the day. And one of those was you'd fly to Gulfport. I would always stay at the Beau Rivage. Charge CSS, I'd stay at Beau Rivage. It was just fun. And then head up 49 to the stadium, Robert Stadium there in Hattiesburg, and time to do, you know, color analysis. Well, this afternoon, kid named DeAndre Brown, who was a freshman, true freshman wide receiver, he had 8 catches for 124 yards and a touchdown. And when I say I saw the future, I saw the future. And you've heard me use this phrase, Sunday guy. And I looked at him as a freshman, and I was like, I said it on the broadcast. I was like, he's a Sunday guy. And at that point, we also had a show on CSS called Inside the Huddle. And it was a recruiting show. And I don't know much about recruiting, so they would have Barton Simmons on and some other people like that, Jamie Newberg back in the day. They would all talk recruiting. I would talk football and college programs and how they fit and what they need. And so it was not a high bar to clear. And so we did this, you know, Inside the Huddle. And I remember that February, that's when I got to know DeAndre Brown. Because if you go look at the 2008 top football recruits in America, here is well the top 12 signed. Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, Colorado, Florida, LSU, Georgia. Is there a curveball yet? This is where the top 12 signs. Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, Colorado, Florida, LSU, Georgia, Miami, Oklahoma, Miami, Southern Miss. Then Notre Dame, Ohio State, Florida, Southern, exactly. Right back to it. The 12th highest ranked high school senior in America, DeAndre Brown. Offers from everybody. His final three, I remember talking about it on the TV show. His final three was thought to be Texas, LSU, and Alabama. I was like, all right, good enough for me. That wasn't true. Southern Miss. So DeAndre Brown decides to go to Southern Miss. And again, I remembered him from recruiting. 5-star kid, number one player in the state, 12th highest rated recruit in America. He doesn't go to Southern Miss. He did. And when I showed up, did color that day, I was like, there's nothing to talk about. I started referencing, you may remember that Dan will. David, if you're too young, go YouTube your computer. Randy Moss's rookie year, Dan, you remember Thanksgiving?
Oh, I do.
Three catches for like 160 yards and three touchdowns against Dallas. Randy Moss just, he was just better. He was taller, faster, longer arms, and they're just like, throw it up. He caught three balls, all for touchdowns. They were all 50-plus. That's what I saw DeAndre Brown do. Kid was 18, did not understand technique, route, setting up defensive backs. You know what he was doing? As a 6'6", 215-pound 18-year-old who ran like a 4'5", he's like, yo, D-back from Rice. Hey, nickel corner from UAB. You want a piece of this? Now, tell you what, I'll give you the whole thing. And he put on a show. He was playing against children. He was 18. He made it look like he was playing against children. And then his sophomore year wasn't quite as productive. In his junior year, and I don't think I'm overspeaking this, Larry Fedora wanted to kick him off the team. In fact, he may have. DeAndre figured out how good he was, and DeAndre didn't really work hard to get better. DeAndre kind of looked around and was like, well, I got this figured out. I just have, because of the rules, I have to pass time until I go to the NFL, but I'm good. I'm telling you, his freshman year, he had a game with 12 catches for 221 yards and four touchdowns. I didn't even do that game. His junior year, he caught a total of 20 passes for the whole year. He only suited up for seven games. It was this, whatever. I remember talking to Larry Fedora after the season because DeAndre Brown, of course, declared for the NFL draft. He didn't get drafted. He was on a practice squad, played in an indoor league, did some whatever. I have no idea where DeAndre Brown is right now. I hope he's good, and I mean that, because that was a fabulously talented young man who I asked Larry Fedora. I said, it appeared to me that he filled up hefty bags full of cash and just threw them off the side of a bridge. And he said, that's exactly what he did. He said he should be a multi-millionaire right now. He understood how good he was, and he never really worked. Folks, latter-day DeAndre Brown, it reeks of Tamorian Terry. He is a kid that showed up, and I was like, all right, he looks the part. And then as an 18-year-old, he just ran past you. And he threw up a fire hose, and it came down with a football. He is a highlight machine, but we see now that's kind of all he has been. Now, what do you mean? That's all he is. All he is highlights. Like, it's the big play, or Tamorian's missing in action. I think he had he led the nation. He might have set a record, I think, at Florida State. He had the most 50-plus yard touchdown receptions in America this past year. And maybe for the past three combined. When Tamorian decides, I'm going to use the throttle today, he's just better. When you look at him physically, he's not exactly DeAndre. Because I looked at DeAndre and I was like, that's RoboCop with better speed. Tamorian Terry, 6'3", about 210. And I think he's actually more physically gifted than DeAndre Brown. He's faster. And he's tough. He is everything you want in a first-round wide receiver. Tamorian Terry will be drafted somewhere on day three. Like, Terrence Marshall's looking around going, all right, I am pleased with what I turned myself into. I showed up as a really talented freshman, and then I worked hard, and I produced, and I did X, Y, Z, and then when I'd done enough, I was like, hey, out. And I'm ready to be a first-round pick, and I think Terrence Marshall might be the sixth wide receiver taken. In a regular year where, you know, like there's not a Heisman Trophy-winning wide receiver in the draft, in a regular year where dude who played four games is probably going to be the first wide receiver taken, in a regular year, where the real first wide receiver taken isn't a tight end? Okay. Terrace Marshall might be like the second or third receiver off the board. I'm going to tell you what Terrace Marshall is. He's somebody that a team at like 38 says, it won't cost that much to trade up to 31 or 32, and we could get that fifth year. Yeah, we're going to do that for Terrace Marshall because he's a top 15 talent and probably a top three receiver that because of the gargantuan amount of talent in this year's draft at that position, he's going to fall. Tamorian Terry, hey, it works against him as well. When there are six first-round receivers, potentially, throw Kyle Pitts in there, seven if you want. I will. Seven. Well, that slides everybody who's not – that slides everybody down, especially someone like Tamorian Terry. And the reason I brought up DeAndre Brown, and I do not mean to be pointed or accusatory. I'm just going to tell you what I believe I've seen. I don't want to be Dan Orlovsky, but I'm going to tell you what I think I've seen. Tamorian Terry, he knows how great he is. He knows how physically overwhelming he can be against college kids. And it was enough to flash. It was enough to say, did you see that 58-yarder? It was enough to say, hey, how about that 71-yarder? And believe me, every team in America would love somebody to catch four passes for, you know, 119 yards and two scores. Big plays all around. Everybody would love it. But that was enough for Tamorian Terry. And having some big plays but not many other plays, that was enough. Playing some Saturdays, not others, that was enough. I'm telling you, I think that's what I've seen. Because physically and ability-wise, different players, but I don't see a whole lot of difference. Tamorian Terry and Terrace Marshall? I think Terry is better than Marshall. And somewhere around, let's see, 7 o'clock, I don't know, about 10:30 on Thursday night, Terrace Marshall is going to be putting on a Kansas City Chiefs hat or a Packers hat, somebody's hat. And it's going to be about 2:30 on Saturday. Tamorian Terry's lunch going to get interrupted. Hey, the Bills just took you in the sixth round. And I'm telling you, I think Terry is better.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Never come across a kid as organized or as detailed as this young man. People do not know who JT Daniels is. And I think some of that is he hadn't really spent much time with the media. I think some people just say, oh, USC kid, California kid. And we forget some of the things, Peter, like this was the Gatorade National Player of the Year.
My man Cole Kublik. He and his tennis shoes be walking around sidelines all over the Southeastern Conference this fall again, and he did spring games, and that was him talking to – was that him talking to Peter Burns?
I believe so. I believe all it right. was SEC this morning.
He absolutely. Burns, yeah. So, Cole talking about JT Daniels, the Georgia quarterback, and that is what we're talking about, the Georgia quarterback. Unlike last year where we would say if there's a season, it's going to be Jamie Newman. And there was even question about – my gosh, why would that kid jump on? Well, we don't know if he's going to be eligible or not. He might not even be healed. So you could kind of understand why JT Daniels went to Georgia, even though you knew that Jamie Newman had been brought in as the hired gun. So after developments, and honestly, the development from JT Daniels himself, and getting healthy again, cleared is not the same as ready to play, not in a game. So we saw how that unfolded, and the kid has so much talent. And Todd Monken, I have a lot of faith in that guy. I really like what he does offensively. He is so unbelievably aggressive. And Georgia, of course, they've got the ponies to cash that check, man. They can do it. We've talked about the spread revolution. Join the spread revolution. Okay, Todd Fitch at Vanderbilt, you're doing it with Ken Seals and a bunch of Vandy receivers. Ed Ogeron did it with Joe Burrow and that bunch. So, yeah, it still kind of comes down to it. And when you've got all of those players on the perimeter, not many of them proven, but when you've got all those players on the perimeter and you know the talent is there, then it may just be kind of all coming together for Georgia this year offensively. Imagine if you're Todd Monken and you legitimately can use the running game off of the passing game and not, all right, well, it's 3rd and 6, so I guess time to throw it. I mean, it's just that has not been the tenor in Athens recently.
No, it's been the other way around. And really, even up until recently, it's been Kirby Smart saying, you do this to set up play action, where then you have people saying, no, not setting up, not running to set up the pass. It's the other way around,
that's
Kirby.
You said people, Section 12 said that, Section 13, Section 14, Section 50. Everybody said that in Athens.
No, and that is the thing. I mean, to hear him talk about vertically, and then it was funny, during one of his recent press conferences too, Chuck, you had reporters even kind of like doubling back and being like, when you say vertically, what do you mean by that, Kirby? Like almost kind of like, are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure that you're saying
almost like
words?
He said tight end.
I know. And that looks like something else that might be incorporated a little bit more this year. You actually kind of led into the topic I want to talk about today. And that is, remember a few shows ago, maybe a few months ago, I did where I said Moneyball is coming to the NFL, where I said that the days of the $30-plus million quarterback, seemingly because of people like Dave Bartu, are starting to become a thing of the past. Because teams are looking at themselves and saying, I'm not going to cut off a third of my body to try to be competitive and try to win. And now the other part of it is that the quote-unquote pro style, it's dead. It no longer exists in college football. And that is kind of the NFL gift to the pro game or the college game, because you have started to see more of the coaches who are getting hired to the offensive position from pro staffs. Joe Brady, I mean, even as well going from Bill O'Brien, bringing him back to the college ranks. And I mean, Todd Monken over at Georgia, that you're starting to see that influence come into the college game, where they're saying to themselves, hey, guess what? Up in the pros, yeah, if you can run it well, then you can win ball games. If you can even just run it good, you can win ball games. I need you to be able to throw the ball, and I need you to be able to be effective at throwing the ball. And oh, by the way, if I'm going to have the Lombardi Trophy at the end of the season, I got to have the guy who can get us there because of his arm. And that's in the college game too, where the game is so much progressing towards the passing game and the pro really kind of characteristics that you're seeing in an offense, that it's just kind of a full circle that now even NFL teams, scouts, GMs, presidents, whoever it might be, are looking at the college game and saying, oh, I don't need to pay this guy. I can get that guy.
It's flowing up. Philosophy and strategy and scheme would always flow down. It's flowing up now, I believe, as far as the passing. And by the way, speaking of the passing game, I said Tamorian Terry is an 18-year-old. He was 19 when he was a freshman. He's a redshirt, but he was 19. I said 18. And I also want to call myself out. Yesterday, I think I corrected this in the segment, but I was talking about Michael Irvin and him playing with Jim Kelly, and I think I corrected myself to Testaverde later. Dan's looking at me like, Chuck, nobody cares and nobody remembers. It's important to present accurate information. I gave the wrong quarterback initially with Michael Irvin, so I did want to make sure that I had corrected that to Vinny Testaverde.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation, like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
King of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
We continue on a Wednesday, and I started the show talking about Tamorian Terry and how he burst on the scene, and it was impressive. And then, unlike DeAndre Brown, who was the kid I was kind of, you know, I said it's not an exact comparison, but there's a lot of similarities, at least to this point. Tamorian, actually, as a sophomore, that was the number that I had referenced. As a sophomore, he led the country 9 touchdown receptions. He averaged 58 yards per touchdown on 9 touchdown catches. Last year, the injury, and played about half the games. I believe, Chuck's opinion, that for any NFL front office looking at Tamorian Terry, he's a guy that I look at and I say, there's some issues that I need to resolve here. Now, size, not one of those issues. Speed, not one of those issues. Talent, all of that's toughness, not any of those issues. It's the other stuff like focus, technique, you know, what's he do during the week to get better? And I just don't know all those things. That's my opinion. Want to bring on a guy who knows about Tamorian Terry and every other receiver and player in the NFL draft from LandryFootball.com. It's Chris Landry. Chris, how are you today?
Chuck, doing good, man. We're a week down and counting for the draft, so that's where I've been, and be kind of glad to get it behind us. But, yeah, doing well. Busy, but doing well.
Yeah, and I say, so what's going on at the site? Well, the draft is going on at the site. I don't know if you know, I'm not going to ask you necessarily for, you know, your Rolodex or anything, but just in general, how many teams maybe have you been working with? What have you been doing most recently, positionally? What is your pre-draft work include?
Yeah, I've got contract now. I've got 13 different teams that I'm doing stuff with. Wrapping up a lot of the meetings, which are obviously all virtual meetings, and we'll probably by the weekend we'll be done, you know, certainly by Monday. And then it's really more of touch up and just kind of people like to get done with their stuff a little bit earlier so that they can do a little bit more final medical and security recheck information on these prospects. The thing that's happening a little bit different this year than any other year is just the medicals. It's a little bit lacking, a little bit lagging, I should say, and maybe lacking. And so there's less information, and that's going to lead to more variances of where somebody may have a player on the board because you don't have as much information medically. You know, you may be a little scared off. Some people may be willing to take a little bit more of a risk. So that's the biggest thing that's going on right now is the final touches with these teams' meetings with regard to the draft.
You were there for some of my commentary, I believe, as you were coming on by Tamorian Terry. I think that his biggest issues that a team has to, you know, kind of reconcile, I think it's all stuff he can choose to improve. You know, the 5'10 guy can't choose to be 6'1". I think everything that you would say weakness or shortcoming of Terry is something that with a little more focus and work can be better.
Yeah, I think he's certainly a size, speed athlete. Who's got a lot of physical skills to be able to run, play multiple positions at receiver. I don't think his hands are great. I think he body catches it. I think he lets it into his body way too much. But physically is not the issue. The issue is work ethic, you know, football character, a little bit of personal attitude character. You know, look, I always say, what's the capacity to learn and willingness to learn? I think the capacity to learn is a little above average. The willingness to learn is way below average. So that's the reason why he's going to be disappointed draft weekend, because he certainly has a lot of ability to be drafted much higher than he is, and he won't be, because I don't think you can trust him. And I think that has been the problem. And I think guys don't understand that it hurts their development, because they're not as good of a football player. It's not like he's a great football player and he's just got an attitude problem, we'll fix the attitude. No, he has limited his ability to develop as a football player because he's been lacking in attitude and work ethic. So he's not reached his potential, and quite frankly, he's been a huge disappointment. And it's going to hurt him. I mean, he won't get drafted where he should be, where his physical skills should suggest he would be.
All right. Could I get like 60 seconds for you to talk about a guy like Julio, who then was probably, he showed up as an 18-year-old in the exact opposite. I mean, he got his rocks off catching touchdown passes, but also like splattering the outside linebacker trying to fill against the run. That's not normal, but Julio ain't normal and never was.
Yeah. And
like
Hines
Ward, for instance.
And this is a perfect example. Okay. So you take a guy like that, or take an Anquan Boldin or Hines Ward or Julio. Think about that for a second. They were physical. They were competitive. They liked contact. Well, you know, if you look at Tamarian Terry, I'm going to give you another. Okay, just the football part of it. Alligator arms over the middle. Not as tough. Don't want to work as hard. Look, let me just kind of get through. Whereas those shortcuts that you take in development affect your overall play. So, yeah, those other guys that you mentioned were great. Because they did all the little things, and they had ability, because you can do all those things and not have the ability. It won't be good enough. But, yeah, that's it. Absolutely. You know, Julio was a physical demon. And look at that. Look, you can't have that type body and physique if you don't live in the weight room. Well, you know, the same thing applies. You know, some guys don't spend as much time in the film room. Don't spend as much time in the weight room. They'll be there. You know, they've got to be there at 5. They're there at 4:59, 5 o'clock.
Glass.
Exactly. Those are not the guys that make it to their highest level. You can only live on your ability so much. And so some of it's just a maturity. They don't know how. The work ethic's not taught them. Some of them just go about avoiding doing the right thing. And that would be Terry. He just is out there trying to skirt. He would walk a mile to try to con you rather than take two steps and do the right thing. It's just, you know, there are a lot of guys like that, and that's what affects them.
You know, I thought that about a decade ago. I was like, Wesley Saunders should be at the beginning of an amazing NFL career right now. You know, the tight end from South Carolina. You know, that work ethic, I mean, you may have heard some of this. Alex Bregman, when different sport, but when he was at LSU, like the story I heard was they had to give him his own, like, key card to get into the batting cages, because he would want to go at 11:30 at night and just, you know, swing. And that's how you turn into an all-star second year in the bigs. I want to stay on campus there. I also was talking earlier in the show, Terrence Marshall. In a normal year where you don't have, you know, a Heisman Trophy winner in the draft at receiver, I said Terrence could be like the third overall receiver. That's what he really looks like to me. I said he's going to have to sneak into the end of the first round. Talk about Terrence as an NFL guy. I look at him, and this draft is spilling over with guys with options at receiver.
Yeah, and in a draft where the best guys are not the biggest guys, even his teammate, Jamar Chase, is not huge. I mean, he's 6 feet. He's 200, and he'll fill out, and he plays a little bit bigger. He's not big. And then, you know, Waddle and Smith, they're not big, and Tony's not big, and Rashad Bateman's not huge, and Elijah Moore's not big, and so all the, and Rondell Moore's a smurf, and, you know, I mean, you just go on and on. I mean, even Dwame Brown's and Amari, not, you know, Amari's put together a little differently. Terrence is big. I mean, he's 6'2", and 6'2 and a half, you know, and he's 205. He can be 215. He is the closest thing to big, and so we're going to see the top three receivers go off pretty quickly around the top 15 or so. And that is going to mean that guys like Marshall, Elijah Moore, and Kadarius Toney are going to go into the first round, kind of in that second half of the first round. Terrence is outstanding. He can high point the ball. He can climb the ladder. You know, he's got to learn how to separate a little bit better. He plays the game stylistically like Michael Thomas. So he's going to have to learn how to separate a little bit better, use his hands a little bit better, but he has got some ability, sneaky speed, and he really has got a good catch radius. He really can give a receiver a big strike zone. And, I think he's very good, and I think somebody's going to get excited about him, because I think once those top guys come off, everybody's going to say, got to go get me one, and he's one of the two or three guys that people are going to like, depending on what you want. Tony's a different receiver. Moore's a different receiver. And Marshall's, different than those two, but can run. I mean, he's a 4.4 guy, really fast.
All right, so you're shopping at Neiman Marcus there. I'm not going to take you to Big Lots, but let's go to Walmart maybe. And I want to ask you about Josh Palmer, because he's another, like, he's like, I don't know, 6'1", 210 or whatever, 205, whatever. He's big enough. I don't know how to evaluate him. I think I like him more than maybe I should, because I'm factoring in quarterback play and offensive system and whatever else. I mean, the guys good enough playing in the NFL, they kind of figure it out. I don't know what to make of Josh Palmer.
Well, I think he's a guy that's he is intriguing. To me, he's not real explosive, but he's got good footwork. He's got good ball skills. He's got good toughness. And so what you like about him is how he's able to produce. And he's got good size. But you wouldn't like about him is the fact that he just doesn't separate. He just doesn't explode. But his footwork gets away with it. And you wonder, as he projects to the next level, he was a Z receiver for them in their scheme. Canadian kid. He has got great tracking skills, big soft hands, and he can win at the catch point. So I think he's going to be a productive receiver, but you have to understand what he is. He has value, but he's not going to be a great separate. I think you're going to have to scheme him open a little bit, but I think he's going to be great on the fade. I think he's going to be great on being able to high point and catch the ball. And you're talking about great value if, let's say, you can get him on the fourth round.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what he is.
All right, folks, that's what you get, and you can get it whenever you want. I tell you, we'll give you a couple of segments a week on Wednesdays, but you can get it whenever you want if you have a subscription at LandryFootball.com. And with the draft, a week and a day from now, there almost is no more favorite time of the year for me at LandryFootball.com than right now. You get all of that stuff. We're going to take a quick break, come back and talk the hottest commodity that nobody ever has enough of, and that's how do we get sacks, players in the draft that can heat up a quarterback. That's next with Chris Landry.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
A lifetime of hard work, children laughing in the kitchen, family photos on a restaurant wall, a legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation, like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
More college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
The most valuable player in any sport, but on a football field, is quarterback. Second most valuable player, guy who hits the quarterback. That's how you win. And that's not popular to talk about in 2021, but it still is football. And there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. But your only chance of really playing defense is to, quote, affect the quarterback, and there are a lot of ways to affect him. I choose to affect his hip pad, okay? I just do. And I choose to do it early, because that's like an annuity. It starts paying dividends later, and you may get a whole like fourth quarter of a guy who there's ghosts and shadows and he thinks stuff's happening. You know what every quarterback says? Every quarterback, he didn't like stuff happening around his feet. And so that's what it's about, man. I want to bring Chris Landry on again from LandryFootball.com. Chris, I want to start with Patrick Johnson, a kid out of Tulane who I don't know what kind of athlete he is. He's probably not great, but I watched him the past 3 years just beat up everybody in the AAC. That is just a violent, aggressive, fun player who you do not have to convince to take a shot at the quarterback.
Yeah, no, he's a good kid, from a Chattanooga kid. You know, he's about 240, and he's you know, he doesn't have that great size or strength, but he works his hands very well. He's very disciplined in his approach. He's very – I think he plays with heavy hands, plays a little bigger and tougher than you might think. He'll be tough to cut in camp. I mean, he's a backup edge rusher. I think he can be more effective in a 30 front, and, you know, I think that's his better fit. But I think he can play, obviously, in some 4-3 looks. Three-year starter there. Good-looking player. I think he's average physically, which is why he won't get drafted as high. But, you know, this is a good player that I think can stick with the team despite the fact that he won't be drafted as high as maybe some people think.
And we're going to move up a little bit, but Jordan Smith from UAB, same sort of thing. You know, raw production in college is what, you know, everybody – we noticed that because we quantify it. I know when an NFL team is like, well, how did you get to that production? Tell me what you think about Jordan Smith.
Yeah, two-year starter there, did a really good job, played sound linebacker for them, and they're 3-4. You know, he's got to improve his strength, which he can, hand technique, to expand his role. But this guy has really nifty pass rush skills. He's long levered. He's 6'6 and change, 255. And he really's got good length and athleticism. I like him of the two a little better. I mean, he's a down the road starter that's just started to really kind of develop, and that frame you can't teach. And he's very, very toolsy. You know, I mean, he knows how to move and work those hands and feet. You know, to be a good pass rusher, you got to move your hands and feet at the same time, and that's not as easy as people think. He can do it. You know, had some issues early in his career. For people who don't know, he was he's not a Florida kid. He's a Georgia kid from Lithonia, Georgia. But he went to Florida and had a little problem in that credit card issue that they had there. But really good looking player. He'll be able to cash some checks with a brand new spanking platinum card once he gets done. I think he's got some good value there. You know, second day, third day of the draft, early third day at latest.
All right, let's go back to Bloomingdale's and Neiman Marcus and all. Azeez Ojulari, boy, that's a fun-looking, intriguing prospect, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of questions about whether you any chance he may slip, and you never know, you know, meaning to teams near at the bottom. And, boy, there's some teams that would absolutely love him. I mean, say a team like Buffalo, where they're thinking how far they need to move up, or would he slip? This guy's really good from Nigerian parents. He can place their jack linebacker position. Great burst and bend. To me, this guy looks so much like Yannick Ngakoue. I mean, he's built like him. You know, he's not an ideal edge-type body. He relies on that outside quickness. He's got to learn how to develop a little bit more variety to his pass rush, become a little bit more effective with his inside moves. And like Ndakwe, a little bit, and this is not a good trait, and this is something you kind of – he's got a little bit of ankle stiffness, not a lot. So when he gets a little bit too far upfield, he kind of opens – lanes for the quarterback. But boy, this guy's got really good instincts for a guy that didn't, you know, eat, sleep, and drink football growing up as a kid. Very explosive. The dip and rip, you know, ability, the scheme versatility. This guy can be an impact pass rusher. People are really excited about him. And, you know, there's this talk about there's not the elite pass rushers in this draft, meaning they're not going to, you know, Chase Young or Nick Bosa type go in the top five. But you got this guy. You've got Jalen Phillips, who I think is really good. I think Jason Alway of Penn State's a Danielle Hunter-looking type of player. I think Rousseau's very underrated. You got a lot of good players. I think the Sasi kid from Texas. I think there's really good value from the middle of the first round to the top of the second. And I would imagine we're going to have a good six or seven of those guys go from the middle of the first round to the end, because I think people are going to start to get excited. And once you see Ojulari, Kwitipe of Michigan, I could see, you know, a little bit of Cam Jordan in him. You know, Phillips and Highway. And Joe Tryon of Washington is a name that I like his frame. He's got a lot of ability. Carlos Basham, we've talked about a bunch over at Wake, that's got good second-round value.
I'm sorry, just in general, because, you know, with Ojulari, and this is philosophical, do you remember Ernie Sims at FSU?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I was there when he was a freshman, like out of practice in August, and a buddy of mine was like, how'd he look? And I was like, he looked like somebody drew him, like a comic book, like a superhero comic book artist where it's like muscles on top of muscles. That's Ojulari to me. If you've taken a look at that kid, do you worry about stiffness or a lack of athleticism? Sometimes you get too lean and muscular that you don't recover from injuries as well. I mean, I'm not overspeaking any of this, am I?
No, and as I mentioned a little bit of that ankle stiffness is what I'm talking about. So some of the change of direction are going to be issues. That's where you're going to have to work the use of hands to be able to work the counter move. But, boy, this guy is really explosive out of his stance. So what he is, he's really got good burst. He's got good finish. He's going to have to round out his game. What I like about is his instincts. I think he's advanced instinctively, and that's relative to what – you know, you're not looking at a guy that you would think is a little bit off in terms of understanding the game. This guy's really good. But, yeah, no, I think he's good. I don't think he's like can't miss Chase Young good. I think he's scheme versatile. I think he can rush the passer. You just mentioned guys like that. They're not – you know, this guy's a 10-7 broad jump. You know, this guy's got some explosiveness in it. He's got a little injury history. But, yeah, no, I think he's good. Great. I'm going to hold off on that. And Ndakwe, I mean, I think is a good – to me, it's a lot. Ndakwe's got paid very well, didn't play all that well down the stretch with the Ravens last year, now with the Raiders. But that's kind of where I see him, and that's what he can be.
Yeah, I remember telling a kid, if your shoulder pad is going right past the left tackle's hip – and you take a hard left to the – I was like, son, you've done it perfectly, but you got to have that bend and that turn and all that. Chris, I appreciate you, brother. We'll do it again in 7 days, okay?
You bet. Keep up the good work. Take care.
All right, Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com. And that's when you hear that, you know, that bend and rip and whatever, it's that little bit of athleticism that is almost second nature. It's almost natural. I was talking about Chuba, as a matter of fact, and, you know, being from Canada, that it's just the instinctive part. I mean, you can't be a better player than Chuba and have better physical skills than Chuba Hubbard. You know, he's very, very talented, and, you know, playing in the league is not a problem. It's just that there is a difference when, you know, as a six-year-old, you were doing all those things, and then as an 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year, and everybody else was, and that was who you were playing against every single afternoon because everybody was just like you. And it's just a little different, and it seems that those instinctive parts are sometimes what's missing.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.